This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Change in diplomatic tone. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, May 16. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
North Korea says it may cancel a planned summit with President Trump next month if Pyongyang is being pressured to give up its nuclear weapons program.
Investigators are trying to determine if a deadly blast at a medical building in Southern California was intentional.
Severe weather in the Northeast turned deadly and thousands were left stranded during the evening commute after train service was suspended from downed trees.
And in business, the new trend in clothing stores, embracing plus sizes.
Well, retailers are finally waking up to the fact that Americans are getting bigger. According to government health statistics, 70% of American adults aged 20 and older are considered overweight or obese.
Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner on how stores are changing displays for plus sizes. She's here in about 20 minutes. A North Korean official is saying that if it's going to be pressured into giving up its nuclear arsenal, it may cancel the summit planned for next month with President Trump. The North's official news agency also said that Pyongyang had called off high-level talks with South Korea because of the South's joint military exercises with the United States. That meeting was scheduled for today. The news agency cited First Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs Kim Ki-gwan. Here's State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert.
We have no information on that whatsoever. What we have to go on is what Kim Jong-un had said before, that he understands and appreciates the importance to the United States of having these joint exercises. The Republic of Korea has as well.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Sunday the U.S. would agree to lift sanctions on North Korea if it agreed to completely dismantle its nuclear weapons program. However, North Korea's statement appeared to reject such an arrangement. Asian stock markets slipped today after Pyongyang called off the talks with the South, by the way. The summit with Mr. Trump is scheduled for June 12th. An explosion that rocked a Southern California medical office building yesterday killed a woman and injured three others. The blast reportedly blew siding off the walls of a medical office building in the town of Aliso Viejo, exposing insulation and framing, as well as damaging a first-floor suite. Aliso Viejo is about 25 miles south of Anaheim. Authorities said no one outside the building where the blast occurred was injured, and there was not an ongoing danger to public safety. The cause of the explosion remained a mystery, however, and authorities did not rule out the possibility that a bomb may have been set off. Commander Dave Sawyer of the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Anytime that you would see an explosion of this magnitude, it would definitely be suspicious to us, and that's why we rolled out all of the resources that we possibly can to get to the bottom of it and find out what has actually occurred.
The Associated Press says the explosion is being investigated as intentional, and investigators believe the blast may have come from a package. Authorities did not identify the woman killed in the blast. At least three people have been killed, and nearly 500,000 customers in the Northeast were left without power due to severe storms that passed through last evening. They included lightning, thunderstorms, flash flooding, hail, winds up to 80 miles an hour, and possibly tornadoes. An 11-year-old girl was killed in Newburgh, New York, by a falling tree. Her mother suffered minor injuries. Ramon Rodriguez watched as emergency responders tried to save the girl.
Oh, the tree came down and it was crushed. The firemen were there with the jaws of life, cutting the car out and trying to get the tree off the car so they get the body out of the car and stuff like that.
In Danbury, Connecticut, one person died after a tree fell on his truck. A third person was killed by a falling tree in New Fairfield, Connecticut. Hail the size of baseballs fell in Columbia County, New York. Service on the Metro North train lines was suspended due to downed trees. Those trains carry home commuters north of New York City. Also, thousands were stranded during the evening rush at Grand Central Station in New York. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Last night was a good one for female candidates for office. In Pennsylvania, women swept to House Democratic primary victories in a number of districts. In Nebraska, another woman narrowly defeated a top Democratic recruit for a battleground congressional seat. Meanwhile, members of California's so-called endangered GOP congressional delegations are upbeat about surviving the much-predicted Democratic wave. Others say observers say it may have to do with a specific local issue in California. It's a story by Rachel Bade, congressional reporter at Politico. Rachel, set this up.
So California, as you know, has become sort of ground zero for this battle to retake the House. Democrats have always said that if they're going to take the majority from the Republicans during the midterms this fall, they're going to have to pick off about seven GOP Republicans in California. And this is sort of an increasing rare breed, as people would say. California's demographics are changing. It's becoming increasingly progressive, and Democrats think that if they can take back the House, or if they're going to do that, they're going to need to pick up seats there. But a lot of this sort of prediction that, you know, California Republicans would be sort of easy pickings, it's sort of gone south. There's a couple of things going on that's given Republicans in California some renewed hope that they're actually going to keep these seats. The least among them would be basically that Democrats have been fighting themselves in a lot of these districts so much that there are so many candidates trying to challenge these Republicans that they risk what's known as lockout, which means that we could see two Republicans running against each other in the fall and that none of them actually qualify through the primary. The other issue is that Republicans have basically been running this sort of hyper-local campaign strategy where they are seizing on a very unpopular gas tax that Democrats passed in California. And they're using this, trying to basically repeal it and put a ballot initiative together that is expected to drive out the Republican base to also vote for House Republicans, but also independents. So basically, Republicans in California, they're feeling like, you know, they actually might be able to hold the line on this.
Wow. We're speaking with Rachel Bade, congressional reporter at Politico. She's written a piece entitled "A GOP Surprise, House Midterm Hope in California." So California, too, has, I think you referenced it in the story, is it called the jungle primary, where like only the top two people, regardless of party, face off for the general election?
That's right. And that's something that was changed just a couple of years ago. And it looks like it's going to potentially hurt Democrats this election cycle. Basically, this jungle primary system, as it's called in California, requires everybody, regardless of party, Republican and Democrat, they all run against each other in the primary, and the top two vote getters qualify for the general election. And for Republican incumbents, a lot of them, this is easy. You know, they've been in office, they have the name recognition. In all these seats, the Republican incumbent in power is expected to qualify for, you know, the general election in November. The question is, who gets that second place position that challenges them? And that's where all this enthusiasm on the left is becoming problematic for Democrats. They have a whole bunch of candidates who are running against Republicans so much that's actually splitting the vote. And there's a lot of these districts have another Republican running, and that Republican is likely to qualify for this position for the November election. Let me give you an example of this. Dana Rohrabacher, he is a L.A. Republican who basically is very close with President Trump, has been criticized for being a huge supporter of Russia, and he's sort of a kooky character. And a lot of Republicans thought he would be one of the most vulnerable Republicans in California. But now there are a bunch of Democrats who are running in this race, too many, so that's splitting their vote. And there's another Republican who is running against Rohrabacher as well, who's actually very popular, very well-known. And right now, according to some polls, he is in the number two position. So even though Democrats saw Rohrabacher as an easy pickings at one point, now there's a chance that they won't even qualify for the general election.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Bade, congressional reporter at Politico. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in North Korea today canceled a high-level meeting with South Korea and threatened to scrap a historic summit next month between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un over military exercises between Seoul and Washington that Pyongyang has long claimed are invasion rehearsals. A senior North Korean diplomat says Pyongyang will refuse to be pressured into abandoning its nuclear weapons program. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says nothing's changed.
We are operating under the idea and the notion that the president's meeting is going forward with Chairman Kim next month.
The surprise declaration appears to cool what had been an unusual flurry of outreach from a country that last year conducted a provocative series of weapons tests. The nominee to run the CIA appears to have the votes needed to be confirmed later this week after winning over a senior Democratic senator who pressed her on the agency's controversial interrogation program and picking up additional support from his side of the aisle. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, now says he will back Gina Haspel. Powerful storms carrying high winds, torrential rain, and hail slammed heavily populated parts of the Northeast last evening, knocking over trees that killed three people, snarling transport, and causing widespread power outages. In Newburgh, New York, this woman lost the roof off her business.
It looks like someone bit the building.
There were nearly 50 reports of hail in states including Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and Connecticut, while flash floods hit parts of Maryland, Delaware, and New Jersey. Idaho Lieutenant Governor Brad Little has won the hotly contested GOP primary in the race to replace Republican Governor C.L. Butch Otter. The gubernatorial seat became a top political race when Otter announced he wouldn't seek a fourth term, marking the first time in 12 years that the top statewide seat would be open.
The clock will hit triple zeros. And in spite of it all, LeBron James and the Cavs are going back to Cleveland. Down 0-2. A stirring come-from-behind win.
That's how it sounded on WBZ in Boston as the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 107-94 in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. LeBron James's triple-double wasn't enough as the Cavs face that deficit as the series moves to Cleveland for Game 3.
He's going to need a quadruple-quadruple. I think in order to
a little more help.
Get the Cavs back in this
just
one.
Just a little.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a reflection of your company and designed to impress clients for less. Custom printing at Staples. Standout materials equals outstanding results. Staples, it's pro time. Americans are getting bigger, and retailers are starting to notice after years of ignoring plus-size shoppers. Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner says chains are boosting their plus-size offerings and displaying the clothing next to standard sizes, breaking with the practice of segregating larger sizes. Suzanne, what are we seeing?
Well, retailers are finally waking up to the fact that Americans are getting bigger. According to government health statistics, 70% of American adults aged 20 and older are considered overweight or obese. And that's a huge part of the population that has, you know, many of which have money to spend and haven't been able to find you know, what they're looking for in retail stores. So you have chains like Nordstrom and Target really not only expanding their plus size offerings, but the big change is they're integrating those clothes with the regular sizes. So no longer will you have to go to a separate department, which very often was sort of buried in the back of the store and not well stocked. Now you can just go to the regular, you know, if you're looking for jeans at Nordstrom, you can go to the regular denim department, and alongside, you know, brands like Rag & Bone and other denim brands that never made plus sizes before are starting to add some of those larger sizes.
Wow. That 70% number you cited, I mean, that's been growing for a long time. What's taken retailers so slow to, or so long to adapt?
You know, fashion has a certain body image that it's sort of idolized for many years, and it's kind of hard to leave that behind. But, you know, I think a big catalyst now is, you know, all retailers at all ends of the spectrum are really struggling. I mean, business is tough, and they're looking for sales wherever they can get them, and it's just foolish for them to ignore, you know, no pun intended, large part of the population.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. Is this happening for guys, too?
It is. A little bit more slowly. I mean, they're starting with women's first because, you know, women do tend to buy more clothes than men, and but they are starting to incorporate this in their men's department as well.
Wow. It almost, the way it was set up before, the way you were describing it, almost makes it seem like women's were like sequestered to like the big girls part of the store or something like that. You got to walk in the back to find your stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a plus size department, and it was often, you know, if the store were on multiple floors, it might be on a very high floor you'd have to go to, or go to the back of the store. And, you know, some of the plus size shoppers I talked to said they don't mind having their own section because okay. It makes it easy for them to find what they're looking for. But what they do want are current styles, and they say it's very hard for them to find, you know, trendy current styles in their size.
Thanks, Suzanne. Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Pyo, Hip Hop Abs, 3-week yoga retreat, and more. Hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding, weight training, and cardio HIIT to yoga and even dance workouts. Workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment. In the time it takes you to drive and park at the gym, you could be finished working out. Insanity is a great program. No extra equipment needed, and Sean T will definitely keep you motivated throughout. Awesome trainer for sure. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You'll get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text the word Gordon to 303030.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. North Korea says it may cancel a planned summit with President Trump if the only mission is denuclearization. At least 3 people killed during severe storms in the Northeast last evening. The Senate Intelligence Committee is expected to vote today on Gina Haspel's nomination as CIA director. Extra incentives begin today for Amazon Prime members. Phoenix will pick first in the NBA draft, followed by Sacramento and Atlanta. And the buried treasure found in a New York backyard. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Small Business Month, Dell is offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. To speak with a small business technology advisor today. Well, we have crazy stock market valuations in the U.S., and yet investors don't seem especially crazed, at least compared to the 2 great buying manias of recent decades. A look at the market from Jonathan Clements, personal finance expert and founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, how do you see it?
Well, those of us who've been kicking around for a little bit probably remember 2 great buying manias from the past 2 decades. One was the tech stock boom of the late 1990s, and the other was the housing bubble that peaked in mid-2006. And people who are around for those 2 bubbles can probably vividly recall what it was like, the craziness over dot-com stocks in the 1990s, companies with no earnings that were just burning through cash, trading at crazy valuations. Similarly, remember the housing bubble when people would just walk into open houses and make a bid there and then because they were so anxious to buy the home and they didn't want to be outbid. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's 2018. Valuations are through the roof. The stock market is extremely expensive, and yet that sense of mania, the hoopla, the craziness, just doesn't seem to be there. So the question is, what's going on?
Right. Is there an answer?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to judge why millions of people are buying stocks at rich valuations But my hunch, and it's only a hunch, I can't mind read a couple of million people, but my hunch is that people are buying stocks less out of enthusiasm for corporate earnings and for future economic growth, and more because all the alternatives seem to stink. People are just super reluctant to buy cash. Yeah, yields have come up in recent years as the Federal Reserve has raised short-term interest rates, but still, you know, you have your money in cash investments like a CD or a money market fund, you're probably earning 1.5%, and that's if you shop around. Meanwhile, you go to the bonds, if you buy a 10-year treasury note today, you're getting a yield around 3%, and that, to people, isn't really exciting. So what do? If everything else stinks, we're going to buy stocks.
Wow. So are we sitting on a bubble here?
Well, it's hard to say something's a bubble when you don't see that level of enthusiasm, but certainly anybody who's entering into the stock market today should realize that, you know, a 20 or 30% market decline is just the price of doing business. You've got to be ready for that at any moment. And what that means is you shouldn't have money in stocks that you're going to need to spend soon. And when I say soon, I mean within the next 5 years. If you're a retiree and you're going to have to take $20,000 a year from your portfolio over the next 5 years, that $20,000 a year, $100,000 total, should be out of the stock market and sitting in a money market fund or nothing riskier than short-term bonds. Similarly, you've got money that's going to be used for a house down payment, you've got a teenager going off to college, and you have a college fund for him or her. That money should be out of the stock market and put in conservative investments.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com, and he's written a piece entitled, Where's the Party? Are there signs that stocks are wobbling?
Well, certainly this year we've had a market that has sort of fought its way to a draw. You know, we were down 10% from the high at various points, but so far stocks have hung in there. Even as interest rates started creeping higher, and even though there's been much to worry about, including this potential for a trade war, but for investors, there's a silver lining here, and silver lining shows up in a variety of different ways. One is, even as stocks have gone nowhere, corporate earnings have continued to rise. So that means that stocks are gradually becoming better value, and that means that future returns are likely to be somewhat higher. Similarly, while the stock market has wobbled, we have seen this rise in the yield on bonds, and we have seen a rise in the yield on money market funds and other cash investments. And what that means is that if you have money in those areas, you're going to earn higher returns going forward. So this wobbling that we've seen in 2018, mildly unpleasant as it's been, is good for future returns. So people should feel mildly comforted by that.
Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, just when you thought we weren't divided enough as a nation, one of those viral controversies comes along that threatens to sow even deeper divisions. The latest, is it Yanny or Laurel? In case you're one of the few people who hasn't heard this audio illusion yet, a Reddit user posted a short audio clip of a robot voice this week asking people to identify what the voice is saying, Yanny or Laurel. It's the kind of census-based teaser that hasn't gripped the nation this tightly since the infamous yellow or blue dress controversy of 2015. If you haven't weighed in on Yanny versus Laurel yet, here's the clip so you can decide for yourself.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Gordon Deal, the verdict is?
Jets will win the Super Bowl. That's what it sounded like to me. There's like a subliminal message in there.
Yeah?
No?
That would be nice. That would work for me.
I hear only Yanny.
Yeah.
I don't understand the controversy.
Because I only hear Laurel, so how about
that? Is that right?
Yeah, not even close.
You're making that up. Don't say stuff just to debate me. You're making that up.
Look, I'm a Laurel guy, and I will not waver.
Hashtag Laurel guy. I saw something explained here. I think it's a Twitter post. It says, if you hear high frequencies, you probably hear Yanny, but yeah, you might hear Laurel if you cannot hear high frequencies.
Yes.
So, how about that?
So it probably has to do with the level that we've kept our headphones on our heads all these years.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, yeah, maybe perhaps your ears are in better shape than mine, is what that probably says.
Do you hear those whistles that only dogs can hear?
Yeah, you probably do. That's what we'll be figured out, because you hear the high frequencies, so you probably hear everything.
Is that why I come running when my wife like whistles and the right. dogs come running in the yard? I come running too.
Here we go.
Time to come in.
We got it all figured out. And a warning, Gordon, before you eat those yummy looking brownies in the break room, especially if you've been involved in any inter-office tension. A Michigan engineering company employee has been fired after police determined she baked laxatives into brownies intended for a departing colleague's send-off. Police say officers confiscated the tainted confections May 3rd after another employee tipped off management. Thankfully, no one had eaten the brownies. According to the Ann Arbor News, the 47-year-old woman initially denied putting laxatives in the brownies, but after learning investigators would test them, she admitted to the deed. Other employees told police there may have been some tension between the woman and the departing employee, but
Come on.
But no specifics have been released. Police say that because no one actually ate the brownies, the woman won't face any charges, but if someone had, it would have been considered a criminal act.
Ooh.
So how about that? She doesn't even get in trouble for trying to do that to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, you get, you know, obviously attempted murder is a crime.
Yeah.
This isn't murder, but, you know.
Poisoning? I don't know what you call that.
Certain crimes, you know, tends to get you in trouble. So that's kind of interesting I guess she was actually saved by this employee who sort of tipped people off. But then, again, how did this other employee find out about it? I guess she was probably bragging about it, right?
Perhaps.
Probably telling, hey, look what I'm going to do, you know, and then thankfully she intervened.
Saved from criminal charges, but not saved from firing, apparently.
Well, yes, that is true. And then she's going to have to, that's not going to be a great reference to get from her previous employer. Well, yeah, why did you leave your last job? Well.
Had a problem with some brownies that I baked.
Yeah. I'm really good at baking. Does that help me somehow?
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. As gas prices continue their upward climb, fuel economy is suddenly important again. AAA says Monday's national average of $2.87 a gallon was up 53 cents from a year ago. Patrick DeHaan, senior petroleum analyst for Gas Buddy, says with oil prices increasing and summer travel demand just weeks away, the price of regular unleaded could approach $3 a gallon by Memorial Day. That's a crucial economic factor for Americans who drive an average of more than 1,000 miles a month. USA Today says at that rate, driving those 1,000 miles in a Toyota Prius hybrid would cost you about $55. If you're behind the wheel of a big SUV like the Chevy Tahoe, those 1,000 miles will run you about $151. Spurring the increase in both oil and gasoline prices include things like OPEC maintaining production limits, even as global economic growth has heightened demand. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, North Korea threw next month's unprecedented summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump into doubt today, threatening weeks of diplomatic progress by saying it may reconsider if Washington insists on unilateral denuclearization. The North's official news agency says Pyongyang had called off high-level talks with Seoul in the first sign of trouble in what had been warming ties. Republican Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming told Fox News the president will continue to press for talks.
He's going to continue to apply sanctions and the tough sort of sanctions we've talked about to make sure they come to the negotiating table.
North Korea's first vice minister of foreign affairs says if the U.S. is trying to drive his country into a corner to force its unilateral nuclear abandonment, it will no longer be interested in such dialogue. At an emergency session of the UN Security Council, Ambassador Nikki Haley denied the violence in Gaza Monday had anything to do with the U.S. opening its new embassy in Jerusalem.
In recent days, Hamas terrorists, backed by Iran, have incited attacks against Israeli security forces and infrastructure. That is violence that should occupy our attention, too.
A vocal supporter of Israel, Haley, walked out of the meeting in protest before the Palestinian representative addressed the chamber. A Chinese government-owned company has signed on to build a theme park in a vast development in Indonesia that also features a Trump hotel and condos, a deal that stands to benefit President Trump's company just as top Chinese envoys head to Washington for trade talks. In a move that has alarmed Trump critics, an Indonesian company confirmed this week it hired the subsidiary of the state-owned Metallurgical Corporation of China to build a theme park outside Jakarta. The property owner 3 years ago struck a deal for the development to include a Trump-branded hotel, 400 luxury villas and condos, and an 18-hole championship golf course. So what did Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago's miracle run to the Final Four mean to the school? How about a 660% increase in donations? The private school declined to give an actual dollar amount, but disclosed that its coffers have soared. And that money doesn't even include additional licensing revenue, which hasn't been counted yet. The school had at least 30 new licensees sign on to make merchandise, including Sister Jean bobbleheads and T-shirts.
Very nice. Boy, NCAA basketball, right, can drive that so much.
I'm
it's incredible.
You. Money, money, money.
Sister Jean bobblehead. Gotta love it. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A New York City man having some landscaping done in his backyard discovered a buried safe filled with valuables that were stolen 7 years ago. Total value of the contents, about $52,000. Matthew Emanuel said he hired a landscaping company to replace some damaged trees in his Staten Island backyard. While digging, the workers came across this large metal box. Mr. Emanuel told the Staten Island Advance that the box had a dial on one side, turned out to be a safe. The landscapers opened it with a pickaxe. He and his wife found $16,000 in salvageable cash. There was a note inside, though, indicating it belonged to a neighbor, so he took it to their home. The couple said the safe had been taken during a burglary. In December of 2011, they had given up hope of ever seeing their belongings again. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.